With great zeal, on June 10th, 2002, Attorney General John Ashcroft announced the breakup of an alleged al-Qaeda plot to explode a so-called dirty bomb on U.S. soil. Abdullah-ul-Muhajir, also known as Jose Padilla, a former gang member born in Chicago, Illinois, has yet to be charged since his arrest in early May. He is currently held in isolation at a military installation in South Carolina. While Bush administration officials have seized upon the arrest as evidence that the U.S. intelligence apparatus has overcome some failures in disrupting terror plots, their European counterparts are highly skeptical of this alleged American terror plot. In a June 12th story, the London Independent reports, British sources point out that despite extensive inquiries, no evidence has been produced to show that he, meaning al-Muhajir, had access to the radioactive material needed to build the bomb, or indeed that he had even worked out a time or place to launch the attack. Meanwhile, on June 5th, the U.S. Senate's Energy Committee voted to authorize the Yucca Mountain Project, setting the stage for a final showdown in Congress over plans for a nuclear waste repository in Nevada. A 1982 federal law required the Department of Energy to take custody of spent fuel rods, and in 1986, the U.S. government settled on Yucca Mountain in Nevada, spending more than $8 billion for preliminary construction and feasibility tests. Located far from the sites of waste generation, the dump would result in millions of shipping miles of high-level nuclear waste, the most concentrated nuclear material on the planet. Activists in the United States have compared the dirty bomb scare to the possibility of an attack on one of these shipments. Joining us now on the telephone from Washington, D.C. to discuss this issue is Mary Olson. She is a nuclear waste specialist with the Nuclear Information and Resource Service based in Washington, D.C. and a commentator on Free Radio Asheville in North Carolina. Mary, I want to thank you for joining us here on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Thanks for inviting me.
Can you begin a little bit by just telling our listeners about your group, the Nuclear Information and Resource Service?
Well, we were founded by folks in 1978 who were faced with the then expansion of nuclear power in the United States, which, by the way, is the largest generator of nuclear waste. About 95% of the problem of radioactive waste comes from nuclear power. Weapons production, obviously, endangers the world in other ways, but it's not the biggest load of nuclear waste. Over time, our organization has turned to waste as part of our mission and goal, and we continue to serve grassroots folks across the United States, including many people in California, as an information and resource service, like our name says, and networking and advocacy group.
Can you tell us how this so-called storage facility at Yucca Mountain in Nevada is designed and what kind of materials are slated to be stored there?
Yucca Mountain is actually just sort of a low-lying ridge that the Western Shoshone people, whose land it truly is, calls Serpent Swimming West. And the interesting thing about this ridge is that it's the result of a volcanic explosion in the past, and it's compacted volcanic ash, which is rated as the worst type of rock in terms of trying to isolate radioactivity from the environment. National Academy of Sciences gave it that designation in the early 80s, and so the fact that it is now being designated as the one and only high-level nuclear waste dump is something you have to kind of scratch your head. The other thing about the site is it appears to be sitting on a magma pocket. There is a row of lava cones like the Hawaiian Islands, the youngest of which is close to the Yucca Mountain Ridge itself, and the indications from satellite studies done by independent scientists are that there's an active magma pocket below the mountain. And yet they have already tunneled into Yucca Mountain. They're going to continue cutting into the rock to make little chambers. And into those chambers, they're going to place a yet-to-be-designed container full of the most radioactive material on the planet, which has enough, they call it spent, but, you know, it's really not all that spent. It's millions of times more radioactive than the uranium that's put into nuclear reactors. Comes out the other end, this sort of like a devil's brew of radioactive substances. It's thermally hot, putting out heat. It's highly, highly radioactive, and it's about 1% plutonium, which means that the whole thing has to be designed so it doesn't someday explode in a nuclear explosion, and yet they're persisting in putting it on top of this potential volcanic explosion.
What is the likelihood of this stuff leaking into area groundwater? And
this mountain will probably contribute to the release of this material more than it will ever contribute to its containment. The Department of Energy itself acknowledges that in terms of containing radioactivity from the environment over the long haul, the container is the most important thing. Then comes the little metal on the outside of the fuel rods themselves. Then comes the ceramic form of the fuel rod. And number four on the list is Yucca Mountain. And yet, that rock that I mentioned is sort of spongy and soft, volcanic tuff, has been fractured because there's continuous earthquakes going on at this site. Over 600 earthquakes in the last, actually there's more than that now, but 5 years ago we said 600 earthquakes, but they're every day in the last 20 years, just during the time the site's being studied. And that constant shaking is fracturing this rock. And there's evidence that was uncovered in the study of this site for putting the nuclear waste in that rainwater has to have penetrated the mountain to the level of the where they want to put the waste within the last 50 years because it's carrying traces and has left behind traces of atmospheric weapons, nuclear weapons tests that were done in the South Pacific. Now, the South Pacific test didn't just only send their radioactivity to Yucca Mountain. It, in fact, cloaked the entire northern hemisphere. But to have traces of this particular radioactivity down inside Yucca Mountain, the only way it could have gotten there was in rainwater within the last 50 years. And so that means that this site is a leaky sieve, and in 1998, Nuclear Information and Resource Service and 200 other organizations around the country, including quite a few from California, petitioned the Department of Energy and said, disqualify this site now. This site is not suitable. It will not isolate radioactive waste. And quite frankly, the Secretary of Energy couldn't answer our questions, basically said, well, we have to keep researching. Basically, we've spent all this money already, and we don't have any other idea of what to do, so we're going to keep on here. And eventually our petition was denied, and now the current Secretary of Energy has approved the site. President Bush has approved the site. U.S. House has approved the site. And so there's only one more step, and that's a vote in the U.S. Senate coming up in the next few weeks.
We're speaking here with Mary Olson. She's joining us by telephone from the Nuclear Information and Resource Service in Washington, D.C. She's a nuclear waste specialist there. Mary, let's talk a little bit about the transportation of this to this proposed nuclear dump. Officials at the Department of Energy and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission have said that they can be secured. What do you feel the likelihood is of an accident or an attack on this material?
Yucca Mountain, this proposed nuclear waste dump, is one of the biggest security risks imaginable now that we're in this new age of not knowing when the next shoe is going to fall. I have a lot of concern that we could have another whole conversation about who is actually out there trying to do what to who. Mm-hmm. I don't have easy answers about those questions. But I do know that if someone is intending to be violent and is intending to inflict damage both to health and property, that these shipments are absolutely unparalleled opportunities. There's been recent stories in the press dismissing the idea that a, quote, dirty bomb could cause much real, quote, harm other than, you know, the idea here is that there's nuclear material, whether it's waste or something else, radioactive, and then a conventional explosive, meaning non-nuclear explosive, is used to disperse that radioactivity. Well, one of these shipments has enough radioactivity in it and enough plutonium in it to cause a very significant number of latent cancer deaths in the future. You have to have a scenario that tells you how many people were exposed before you can say how many deaths. But this material is 1% plutonium, and plutonium is one of the most carcinogenic substances out there. Plus, even a tiny fragment of a fuel rod, if an individual were exposed to it for any length of time, could deliver either a dose that was lethal to a portion of a body, in other words, burns so bad that amputation would be required, or alternately lethal dose to the entire body and death of the individual within 2 weeks or a month after that exposure. And, you know, there is no more concentrated radioactive material except for a reactor core while it is fissioning. And we are talking about a program that's going to have somewhere between 20,000 and 100,000 shipments. The reason we don't know is because the Department of Energy has not yet decided whether trucks will be used, trains will be used, barges will be used, or all three. A train cask container holds 6 times more irradiated fuel. I don't call this stuff spent, by the way. The only thing spent about it is our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is highly, highly, highly radioactive material. If it is not shielded, an individual who's exposed to it in a fairly close proximity, but nonetheless for less than a minute, will have a lethal exposure. And so, you know, this stuff is mostly east of the Mississippi River at reactors 103 that are operating today, 120 reactors that were built total. They want to build new ones. Once these shipments start, they say it'll take 30 years to move the amount of material that exists in the current program, but if Bush and Cheney build new reactors, I see no sign that the shipments would ever stop. So 30 years plus. And, you know, if you're talking about 100,000 shipments, that's many shipments every day in motion somewhere in the United States. And believe me, they're not going to build new rail lines. They're going to use the same ones that the freight trains use. And, in fact, these containers are going to be mixed up with other types of materials on, you know, regular common carrier commerce, both in truck and in rail. And in barge. And so there's just no way, even if they did a terrific job for the first 6 months or a year, there's just no way that you're going to be able to provide both safety and security for that many shipments. And the Department of Energy itself knows there will be accidents. They know there will be fatalities. And the way they dismiss this and say it is not significant is by averaging those across the entire U.S. population because they're viewing this as a national program. Hmm. So, you know, they know there's going to be problems, and yet they're going ahead.
How many states will this stuff come from?
Well, there are reactors in 30 states. Transport routes go through 44 states.
Wow.
So, you know, Hawaii, if you're listening and somehow on this broadcast, you're out of the picture. Alaska, too. But, you know, the vast majority of the United States, they say 50 million Americans live within a half mile of a transport route. And, you know, I'd like to share with everybody a great website that's just come online where you can put in your address and see how close you are to a shipping route, any address in the United States. And it also tells you how close the sources of that waste is. And most significantly, if you go on the little link that says, tell me more, it tells you how much waste is at those sites now and how much waste will be at those sites once Yucca Mountain, the proposed dump, is already full, because none of the reactors that are generating this waste are planning on closing down anytime soon. And President Bush and Vice President Cheney are planning on building new reactors. So, you know, this whole program is not about getting rid of waste. It's only about a big shell game to move it. And that website is www.mapscience, one word, M-A-P-S-C-I-E-N-C-E, .org.
Mary, can you talk a little bit about how far this waste travels? I'm curious, the possibility of an accident, if there were to be one, what is the containment area, if so to speak? How far would this radioactive material be affecting people? How many miles within, would you say?
Well, and let's get real, because the scenario now is not only accident, but what about attack?
Right.
I mean, I really honestly believe that if I'm not a terrorist, okay, but I tend to talk in a personal way. And so if I were a terrorist, the prospect of 100,000 high-level nuclear waste shipments going on the roads of the United States would be what I'd been waiting for. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not as if this program has been a secret. And quite frankly, it never occurred to me in all these years that anyone would treat either a reactor or a waste shipment as a dirty bomb. It just was beyond my own comprehension. But September 11th has changed that, and I certainly am not a terrorist, which is why I think this entire program should be put on hold. But having said that, let's go into the scenario of what it looks like, because what makes a huge difference to the number of people who are affected and how much of our environment is contaminated is whether or not there is either a fire or an explosion involved in the event that spreads the radioactivity around. If a container is in an accident and it's sort of crushed a little bit and cracked open, and there is no fire and no explosion, just a regular accident, then the people who are at the site are at grave risk, and the emergency responders are at grave risk. And if there happens to be some amount of material inside that's become a powder form, which does happen, and there's a wind, then there's a fair amount of radioactivity that may leave the site, but not into the levels where you would start saying significant radiological hazard immediately to people downwind. That would be more like your long-term risk factor for how many other things have you been downwind of, and here's one more. And yes, indeed, a particle of plutonium-laced irradiated fuel that's smaller than you can see, if inhaled, may, in fact, cause fatal lung cancer. So the whole idea of dose kind of goes away because, you know, radioactivity in our environment is affecting cells, and cells are what cause cancer or birth defects or genetic damage, not whole bodies. And so, you know, the whole body is affected by the cancer, but not necessarily needed to initiate that causation. So, you know, now if you add to that picture of an accident where there's been some crushing, especially in a train derailment, there can be tremendous crushing forces. A container may well not stand up to it because the Department of Energy does not require a crush test for these containers at all. They do a drop test, a flame test, and a submersion test, but they don't even use real-world conditions. They have a half-hour fire, they have a 30-foot drop, and they have a half-hour submersion. I don't know how you'd get one of these 120-ton things out of a river in a half hour. Most rail fires are a lot longer. And diesel is, you know, plentiful in all of these scenarios. And so diesel fuel, creating a fire, lofting those particles that I mentioned, and possibly creating more particles of fuel as the container's engulfed in fire, that's where you start having significant amounts of radioactivity leave the site of the accident. And it may be that people are affected through the smoke plume directly, or it may be that this stuff goes up into the clouds and becomes fallout. And it may be a community hundreds of miles away that are going to get the highly radioactive rain falling on them without necessarily any warning at all or any precautions being taken to protect them from that impact. You know, and again, you have to sort of follow out, well, what are all the scenarios for how this could affect people? But then I finally want to take us to the level of someone blows up a cask or hits it with a rocket from a handheld launcher. If even 1% of the material is distributed, it's been estimated that depending on whether you're in the country or in the city, it's either millions or billions worth of property damage from the contamination and an unknown number of health consequences, because you need to know how many people are affected. But certainly you're going to have much more dire consequences than the mainstream media is saying, that the only real effect of a dirty bomb is the hysteria that it causes. Well, particles of irradiated fuel is exactly what came down out of the sky from the Chernobyl eruption, and that is what would come down out of the sky from either an explosion or a fire at a waste cask event. I'm calling it an event because I hate the word incident, and maybe it wasn't an accident. So that's why we coined the term Mobile Chernobyl a number of years ago, and a lot of people challenge us on that name, but Mobile Chernobyl is accurate. And I don't think we should be downplaying the actual real probability in this day and age that someone would actually do this.
We're again speaking with Mary Olson. She is talking to us by telephone from Washington, D.C. She's with the Nuclear Information and Resource Service. I just have a few more questions for you, Mary. I understand that a majority of Nevadans are opposed to this, and that the governor there, Kenny Gwynn, has vetoed this decision to build Yucca Mountain Dump. And as you just mentioned, the Mobile Chernobyl tour, I understand that there are dozens of activists currently on the roads of America with mock casks that would be just like shipments. Can you talk about first how the federal government is able to override the state sovereignty of Nevada, who Nevadans are obviously opposed to this on a large scale. Their senators are both lobbying heavily to have this bill defeated, and also the other types of resistance that are going on. If you could talk on, about some of that.
Yeah, Governor Gwynn is exercising the rights and the will of the people. We should also mention the Western Shoshone Nation, which has long since given notice that the Yucca Mountain dump is not something that they approve of. And there's still a treaty between the U.S. Senate and the Western Shoshone Nation, which the federal government is just outright ignoring at this point because it would be too embarrassing to them to honor a treaty that they signed as recently as the Civil War, mind you, with the Western Shoshone Nation. But both the Shoshones and the state of Nevada, under their sovereign right, have rejected this dump. It's even against the law in the state of Nevada to dump high-level nuclear waste. And so the Nuclear Waste Policy Act that set up the whole program at the federal level gave whatever state was that was selected the opportunity to veto that selection, that stick it to Nevada, they call it. Actually, the legislation that was passed in the first place was openly called on Capitol Hill, Screw Nevada. And it was total politics. It was a very powerful representative from Michigan, John Dingell, getting back at then-Representative Richard Bryan for having passed efficiency standards for U.S. automobiles. And so all of a sudden, Nevada was the only site under consideration in 1986 because Dingell wanted to get back at them for making Detroit have to make cars cleaner. You know, I'd love it if our country would really take a good long look at the real consequences of the nuclear age and treat them, you know, the nuclear waste, with the kind of respect and responsibility it deserves. But unfortunately, that's not how Washington is put together, and it's a lot of horse trading. And so you asked about the mock nuclear waste casks. We've built fiberglass and sheet metal models that are 30 feet long and 16 feet tall of what nuclear waste shipping containers look like. And we have activists from a number of states out there with these mock shipments going to events and holding their own events in key swing states. Now, those who are listening are probably have senators in California, Boxer and Feinstein, deserve the support of the people of California because they've stated that they are with Harry Reid
on this issue
from Nevada and oppose Yucca Mountain. But they need to hear from people that that's correct because this fight is not going to be over with this vote. And we need the message to get out there.
In fact, our local congressperson, Sam Farr, has also come out on record opposed to the Yucca Mountain Waste Facility, I'm happy to say. Although he is very bad on many, many, many other issues, especially Colombia and aid there, as well as other things like Yugoslavia, the bombing that took place there with depleted uranium. So he's not 100% off the hook, as are Senators Feinstein and Boxer. They are good on certain things, but... And they do need to be commended when they are coming out in the most logical, anyway, side of an issue.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we as activists think that we're only fighting stuff and that when something happens right, we forget to support it. And so then it's hard to retain that support in the future. So I'm really not trying to endorse them for their whole political careers, but I am saying it's important to thank them when they do something right and they're opposing Yucca Mountain. There is a website that individuals can send a fax to their senators, which is at the Public Citizen website, www.citizen.org, and take the link to the Critical Mass Energy and Environment Project, and there's a way to send a free fax to your senators. And for organizations that are listening, people who represent groups, there's a yuccastatement.org, www.yuccastatement.org, where we're collecting groups that oppose Yucca Mountain, and we're really trying hard this week to get up over 600 groups, and we're not there yet. So if anybody's listening and wants to sign on to that statement, that would be great.
And we're speaking with Mary Olson. Mary, I just have one final question, and I was wondering if you could comment. You are, I assume, engaged in a lot of lobbying there on Capitol Hill?
Yeah, Yeah.
Can you talk a bit about some of the recent... I understand that the state of Nevada has actually filed 5 lawsuits in the last year. Could you just talk more about what the likelihood is of a court ruling in favor of stopping this project?
Well, this big vote in the U.S. Senate, which is coming probably by July 1st, is momentous because it sort of sets the mark of moving this off of Capitol Hill. But I want to, before I go to the lawsuits, mention that it's really not over, no matter which way this vote goes. If we, quote, win and stop Yucca Mountain in the Senate, I'm quite certain that the proponents of it will author new legislation and bring it right back next year in some form or another. If we, quote, lose, then there's the opportunity each year for us to organize to kill the funding for this program, which will be federal tax dollars. So either way, you know, this is not done and over with. Meanwhile, the state of Nevada has been prevented from challenging this whole program legally for the last 20 years because the federal courts will only hear legal challenges to final federal agency decisions. And all this time, while they've been tunneling into the mountain, the Department of Energy has been saying that Yucca Mountain is a study site, and they have not made their final recommendation until the year 2000 when the Secretary of Energy recommended the site to Bush, and Bush put his rubber stamp on it in early, I'm sorry, that was 2001, and he did it in early 2002. And so it's only now that there's a final federal action that the state of Nevada has been able to go to court. And they are challenging all kinds of things, including the fact that what the Yucca Mountain is going to leak. And so the Department of Energy says, ah, but we'll fix that. We're going to use containers that are perfect and wonderful and will last forever. You know, what Nevada is saying is that the whole program was put together as geologic isolation of nuclear waste. I mean, even if you could get it there without problems, even if there was no attack, even if there was never any accident, this mountain is not going to isolate the waste. And so Nevada's big case says, look, the law says geologic isolation. You admit this site isn't going to provide that, so we should start over. And quite frankly, it's true. The mountain is probably going to make it leak faster than if they, say, cleared out all the desks from the Pentagon and left the air conditioning and the heat on and just, like, put all of the containers into some big building like that. I mean, that would probably be a more sustainable situation than the earthquakes going on at Yucca Mountain. So I hope that the state of Nevada's cases will be heard and will be judged. But the sad and sorry truth is that the federal government thinks it has the authority to preempt any such case based on national security. And so the Bush administration appears to be building the ludicrous, absolutely absurd idea that it is national security to take high-level nuclear waste to Yucca Mountain, notwithstanding the fact that it will be up to 100,000 dirty bombs on our highways through our urban centers, past our schools, past our hospitals for 30 years.
And they continue to produce it.
That is why people have to stop thinking this is someone else's problem and recognize that it's all of our problem. And as you say, stop making it, but recognize that for now the best we can do is secure it where it is and go back to the drawing boards and come up with some plan that minimizes the transportation and at the very least does not put 95% of the radioactivity of the nuclear age on top of a volcano, which, believe it or not, I am not stretching the truth. You can go to Science Magazine and look this up. You will find for yourself that there is a magma pocket very likely below Yucca Mountain.
Marianne Olson, I want to thank you for joining us today on Free Radio. And again, if you could just give us some contact info for your organization and then give again the website for the Public Citizen Alerts and any other final thoughts that you may have for us today.
Sure. Nuclear Information and Resource Service is on the web at www.nirs.org. You can send a fax to your senators by going to the Public Citizen website, www.citizen.org. Go to the Critical Mass Energy Project and select Take Action as the link. And finally, have a great time going to mapscience.org. and look up the nuclear waste shipping routes in your state and find out where the waste is coming from, where it's going to, and a whole lot of other information.